Hello, welcome to the Top 10 Countdown with Gary L. and Gigi's Boo on the Real Liberty Media website and RLM Radio, simulcasting over the Discord Music Enjoyment Chat under the Suspect Sky channel. Hello, everyone. How you doing? Hello, Gigi's Boo.
I'm here, but I hear nothing.
Let's move on to the number 10 song, which you've heard before, the Tennessee Waltz by Patti Page, and we'll see if we can straighten out some of the technical ends. That's live radio, and we'll be back.
I was dancing with my darling to the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced her to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee Waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee
Tennessee Waltz. And what a great song that was. You've heard it before, Patti Page. And it's the number 10 song in 1951. As a matter of fact, this is the 1951 Top 10 Countdown. And we're happy everyone is here. Gigi Spoo, have we got the audio straightened out?
Can you hear me now?
I hear you fine.
Okay. What happened is I had two of the radios up and I was hearing broadcast. It was a little behind, so I figured it out on the thing.
Yeah, that'll happen. There's a bit of a, there's quite a bit of delay, actually, on the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's kind of tough. We're using Skype, and, of course, one time Skype, the music will go across, and another time they have the filters on, and the music will not go across. They filter the music off. So you end up in a, when you're working remote, you're ending up with a little bit of a disconnection because of the time delay. And we apologize for that, and I apologize. I get a little testy on live radio. And it's the consumer. This is all about you guys. It's not about us. So anyway, so what's been going on, Gigi's Boo?
Nothing very much. Just tiddling around with our rambunctious dogs.
I haven't heard much about Atticus lately. Atticus is still around, by the way, for you guys who are familiar with the little black cocker spaniel. And then there's...
He's around, all right.
Waiting for the next bite to come out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then there's Allie Jean. And what kind of dog is Allie Jean exactly?
Allie Jean, the vet seems to think that she's pit. I don't, because she's got an underbite. Mm-hmm. I think she's boxer, mm-hmm. and she's lab. We know she's part lab.
Yeah, that's the way it looks to me, too. And, of course, the new addition, Sadie Mae, the German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice, well-socialized German Shepherd. So she's almost like a lap dog, except a little bit bigger.
Yeah, Hal said Atticus, yeah.
Atticus.
Hal knows Atticus really well. He gets a lot of pictures of Atticus.
Yeah, that's right. He does. All right. So what was going on in 1951 news-wise? It, like 1950, I mean, yeah, there were things going on, significant things. We'll kind of steer away from the Korean War because that's kind of was a tough time in our history. But one of the big things that did happen in 1951, that Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were sentenced to death for treason. It seems that they were convicted of having leaked nuclear atomic secrets, rather, to the Soviet Union.
That's never really been proven that happened either.
Yeah, that's been a bone of contention all along, although I have my thoughts on that. And they were convicted on April 5th, 1951. And let's see.
Her daughter has a very good documentary. Something about, well, she told the story and showed evidence. And I can't remember the name of it. I'll tell y'all next week. But it's very good if you want to watch it. Mm-hmm. I'll get the name of it for you.
Okay. All right, moving along. I guess it's about time for, you know, what we do and what we started doing anyway. Have our little contest. So, we're going to have an easy one, I think, to start here. And if anybody's been listening, they can kind of figure out where we're going with this. And we're going to ask the question of who won in the 1951 World Series. Okay, anyone have an answer for that? How about Gigi's Boo? Anybody ever?
I'm watching, though.
Nobody. I have no answers. I have nothing popping up. I don't know.
Yankees. Vaughn just answered Yankees.
Well, you know, that would be correct.
Winner.
Yeah, the New York Yankees defeated the New York Giants. Crosstown. 4-2. Yeah, how about that? So we did have a winner, didn't we? Who was that?
Yeah. Vaughn.
Don, did you say?
Vaughn. Vaughn E. Waltz. Vaughn E. Waltz.
Oh, Vinny. V-I-N-E.
I don't know. Vinny? Okay.
You're not familiar with all these code names. So. And just so you guys know, Jesus Boo is trying to keep an eye on the RLM chat, and I'm trying to keep an eye on the Discord chat. So we try not to have the same disconnections that we had last week with all kinds of appeals and instant replays and all this stuff going on. Yeah, so, you know. Oh, they're just trying to have fun with this thing. All right, Gigi's Boo, that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. I'm glad he got that because, I mean, who would have guessed that the Yankees won? I mean, who would have guessed that? I mean, the Mario Lanza probably wouldn't have guessed it.
Touch them from here. Words falling to rhyme anytime you are holding me near. When wonderful touch of your hand, and my heart starts to beat like a child when a birthday is near. So kiss me, my sweet, it's the loveliest night of the
moly, Gigi's Boo. Who thought that opera was going to break into the number 9 spot on the top 10 countdown? Ooh, Mary Alonso. Now, he sounded very much like another opera singer that I think most people are familiar with, and I couldn't help but notice the amazing similarity with his voice and Luciano Pavarotti. Very similar.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, so it makes me wonder if old Luciano wasn't a fan of Mary Alonso, because he seemed to have adopted a very similar tenor approach there. Yes, it's weird that you would think that that kind of music would break into the top 10 of a year, but maybe the reason was it was associated with a movie. And let me see, what was the name of that movie? Can't find it. But one of the things that does, I'm sure everyone's heard this, associated with like magicians performing magic tricks and circuses and flying trapeze acts, and you know, I was kind of surprised that it was really kind of a semi-operatic piece. What do you think, Gigi?
Yeah, I had the same idea, and I remember one time they ripped off the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And they let everybody skate. We've got a street that has a median down the middle. It's got trees and grass and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
They roped off the street, a whole block, maybe a block and a half, maybe two blocks. And they let everybody skate. And they played that particular song, but they didn't have any singing with it. It was all instruments, because it had a sway to it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, think about it. You could sway with your skates to it.
Well, I think I have an explanation for that sway. It was originally published in 1888 under the name of Over the Waves, and it was a waltz in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. And I found the movie. It was associated with the movie The Great Caruso, in which it was sung by Anne Blythe. And later on, Mary Alonso recorded the song. It actually became one of the most popular songs in 1951, reached number 3 in the Billboard chart, and he received his 3rd gold record for that particular song. So, you know, like I say, we're in that really strange transformative period in the early 50s, where there's, as you'll hear as we go along, a lot of the older sounds were still popular, and some of the newer, more rock-like sounds started to move into the scene. And so that suggests that, you know, we had some type of social transformation happening.
You know, you went from the 40s to all the crooners, and then you went to the 50s with little rockabilly and rock and roll, And we also wondered why the harmony was so well with people in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
It's because people went to church.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They sang a lot in church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when the rockabilly came along and you had these scandalous acts like Elvis and everything, the people that were adults during the 40s swore the kids in the 50s were going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Started a whole different movement of the waltz to the gyration of the hips and the whole nine yards of that. So that's another explanation there about the way things are done.
Sure. That's good. Okay, let's move on to number 8, another Perry Como. I mean, Perry was very popular for a long time. And number 8, the song If.
If they made me a king, I'd be but a slave to you. If I had everything, I'd still be a slave to you. If I ruled the night, stars and moons so bright, still I'd turn for light to you. To me bowed, yet humbly I'd plead to you. If my friends were a crowd, I'd turn in my need to you. If I ruled the earth, what would life be worth? If I hadn't the right to you. Stars and moons so bright, still I turn for light to you. If the world to me bowed, yet humbly I'd plead to you. If my friends were a crowd, I'd turn in my need to you. If I ruled the earth, what would life be worth? If I hadn't arrived.
Perry Como, Gigi's Booth, If.
Yes.
The number 8 song of 1951. You know, his voice is like, whew. You know, he went on for a long time. He was...
That one year here during Christmas, PBS Broadcasting did a series of older shows, and a lot of them were Perry Como and Tennessee Ernie Ford. And then some of the later ones that Perry Como did, he was very, very popular in Ireland. And he did a Christmas special from Ireland.
Mm.
And it was absolutely beautiful. It really was.
I bet it was. You know, you might, if you looked around on YouTube or somewhere, you might actually find that show. I don't know. It might be, might be worth trying to dig up. Before we go any further, let's pay some bills. Who likes censorship? How about cancel censorship and collaborate toward a solution? Fractal Frog. is a true technological remedy to fight the deplatforming, shadow banning, and throttling of vital content creators. Support the movement with the Kickstarter today. Okay, Gigi's Boo. Yeah, I mean, it's no good. I mean, everyone, not everyone is a content creator. I appreciate that. But most people around here are content consumers. And so when some of your favorite content disappears off YouTube, bing, gone forever, well, you're at a loss, right?
Exactly right.
Yeah, you certainly are. Okay, let's talk about what's... Let me get back to my news page, boo-boo-boo. Flipping between screens. Getting a little bit better at that. All right, what else we got going on? How about the second contest? Now, unfortunately, our Canadian representation in Discord does not appear to be here. So this one's... And that was a hint, by the way. Almost a spoiler. This one, the second contest is... Da-da-da-da-da! Who won the 1951 Stanley Cup? Okay, Gigi's Boo, who do you have over there as the right answer? Anybody over in the RLM chat have the right answer, Gigi's Boo?
No.
What? Come on now.
I sure don't.
Well, what do you know about that, Gigi's Boo? Nobody seemed to know that Toronto, again, won the Stanley Cup of 1959. Oh. Yeah, that's right. Oh. What's up with that? I don't know. I don't know what's up with my Discord people today. They're just not here. I don't know. Strange.
It's gone Sunday.
Well, you know what? That could be part of it. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that's it.
That could be part of it. So what in the world do we do now, Gigi's Boo?
Just play small music.
Play small music. How about number 7? How about a Tony Bennett song, Cold, Cold Heart?
I tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. Yet you're afraid each thing I do is just some evil scheme, a memory from your lonesome past keeps us so far apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? Another love before my time made your heart sad and blue. And so my heart is paying now for things I didn't do. In anger, unkind words are said that make the teardrop start. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? There was a time when I believed that you belonged to me. But now I know your heart is shackled to a memory. The more I learn to care for you, the more we drift apart. Why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart?
What'd you think about that, Gigi's Boot, Tony Bennett?
Beautiful.
Yeah, now there's quite a story that goes along with this song. Now, who do you think originally wrote that?
I know who.
Oh, who?
Hank Williams Sr.
Yeah, Hank Williams Sr. originally wrote that. It was considered a blues ballad as both a classic of honky-tonk and an entry in the Great American Songbook. There was actually an adapted melody from the song from T. Texas Tyler's 1945 recording of You'll Still Be in My Heart that was written by Ted West in 1943, and a little bit of a controversy erupted as a result of all that. One of the big stories about this is the relationship between Hank Williams and Tony Bennett. See, it was in 1951 that Tony Bennett produced this popular piece of the same song with Percy Faith, of course, in the background. And it was on the Billboard charts on 20 July 1951 and lasted 27 weeks on the chart, peaking at number one. Actually, the popularity of that Bennett version was credited with helping to expose both Williams and country music to a wider national audience. All music writer Bill Yonovitz discusses this unlikely combination, quote, that a young Italian singing waiter from Queens could find common ground with a country singer from Alabama backwoods is a testament to both Williams' skills as a writer and to Bennett's imagination as an artist's ear. Actually, Williams called Bennett on the phone and said, quote, Tony, why did you ruin my song, end quote, but that was a joke. In fact, Williams liked Bennett's version and played it on jukeboxes whenever he could. And Bennett, in his autobiography, named The Good Life, described playing Cold Cold Heart at the Grand Ole Opry later in the 50s. He had brought this on this usual arrangement chart, like you do when you go to play with a house band, and he was intended to give it to the house musicians, who would be, of course, backing him. But since their instrumentation was different, they declined the charts. They told him, said, you sing and we'll follow. Bennett says they did so beautifully. Once again, recreating an unlikely artistic merger. That's quite a story, isn't it, Gigi's Boot?
I said it is. It's wonderful.
Yeah, that's quite a story. And you never know what you're going to find as you go through all this. Let me see. We've done the first two contests. What time is it? We're still a little early. We're not going to jump into that yet. But let's talk about movies. Can you name a movie that was popular and that made its first appearance in 1951?
A Place in the Sun.
Yes.
And the reason I like it so much is I always thought Elizabeth Taylor was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Not Roman Holiday, but...
That was 1953.
Was it? Okay.
An American in Paris is what you're trying to think of.
That's it. American in Paris.
And who
yeah.
was in that? Do you remember?
Who's in it? Yes. Audrey Hepburn and Gene Kelly.
Yeah, you got it. And let's see. How about the movie called The African Queen? You know that?
Oh, that was Bogey and Katharine Hepburn
yeah,
that played
it's
that.
Yeah, Katharine Hepburn. You're right. And A Streetcar Named Desire came out, but also... There was a particular actor that made his first appearance as the King of Siam in Rodgers and Hammerstein's The King and I. You know who that is?
Yul Brynner.
Yeah, Yul Brynner.
See, I'm a history buff when it comes to movies and stuff. And I said something to Gary last night when he was going to talk about Streetcar Named Desire. I hollered out, and I hope this is not too loud, Stella! Stella! How many of y'all know what that means?
You'd had to seen the movie, I guess.
yeah. It was Marlon Brando calling his wife. Mm-hmm. She had made him leave, and he was standing outside calling to the second story for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what else was introduced in the United States in 1951?
No,
something that people were looking at in those days.
TVs?
Color television. Was introduced, yeah, introduced in the United States in 1951. Pretty good stuff, Boo Boo Bear. Pretty good stuff. Let's see.
Yeah.
What else we got going on here? I think it's about time, clock time-wise, I think it's about time to move on to number six. Okay, all you guys out there listening, Here's a sing-along for you by the Weavers and Terry Gilkerson, On Top of Old Smoky.
On top of Old Smoky, all covered with snow,
I lost my true lover for courting so slow.
For courting's a pleasure.
For courting's a pleasure.
Parting is grief.
Parting is grief.
And a false-hearted lover.
And a false-hearted lover.
Worse than a thief.
It's worse than a thief.
A thief will just rob you.
A thief will just rob you.
Take what you have.
And take what you have.
But a false-hearted lover.
But a false-hearted lover.
Will lead you to the grave.
Will lead you to the grave.
And the grave will decay you.
And the grave will decay you.
Turn you to dust.
And turn you to dust.
In a hundred.
Not one boy in a hundred.
A poor girl can trust.
A poor girl can trust.
They'll hug you and kiss you.
They'll hug you and kiss you.
Tell you more lies.
And tell you more lies.
Than cross ties on a railroad.
Than cross ties on a railroad.
Or stars in the sky.
Or stars in the sky.
Never place your affection.
Never place your affection.
On a green willow tree.
On a green willow tree.
For the leaves they will wither.
The leaves they will wither.
The roots they will die.
The roots they will die.
You'll all be forsaken.
You'll all be forsaken.
And never know why.
And never know why.
Number 6, On Top of Old Smoky, by the Weavers. Now, Jesus Boo, did you know that they think that Klingman's Dome was what they were talking about, as calling it Old Smoky? Did you know that?
There are, could be, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Cherokee country.
Yeah. Another interesting story, we'll move through quickly here because we slipped behind a little bit, but it's unclear exactly when, where, and by whom this song was first sung. In historical times, folk songs were the informal property of the communities who sang them, and as such, they were passed down through the generations. And they were only published when some curious person took the trouble to visit the singers and document their songs. And that really didn't start until around the turn of the 20th century. So for that reason, it's unlikely that an originator of On Top of Old Smoky could ever be identified. You know, the way that song was arranged and put together, Gigi Spook, now, do you have any feelings or thoughts about who might have been the original folks that sang that?
You know, I really don't, except something did come to my mind. It was Sons of the Pioneers.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that was...
That was way after their popularity,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about way back in the day. When...
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know either. Okay, well, let's move on kind of quickly here to the number 5 song, because, like I said, we're running a little bit long. So number 5, Be My Love. Again, Mario Alonso, so get your opera ears tuned.
Can earn this find love's promised land, there'll be no one but you for me.
Plum and every kind of do, eh? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and dates and grapes and cakes, eh? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you marriage ring and the pomegranate, too, huh? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you peach and pear and I love your hair, huh? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you each side. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything, everything, everything. Come on to my house.
Oh, yeah, come on to my house. Rosemary Clooney, come on to my house is how that is. Interesting story. Go ahead.
That's for the working girls.
Well, you know, it sounds that way, but the story behind that is kind of interesting. And we have to move quickly here, but prior to that, we had Be My Love by Mario Lanza again. And so let's talk real quickly about this whole song, Come On A My House, released in 1951, was written by Ross Bagdasarian and his cousin, Armenian-American Pulitzer Prize-winning author William Saroyan. And they did it while they were driving across New Mexico in the summer of 1939. The melody is based on an Armenian folk song, The lyrics reference traditional Armenian customs of inviting over relatives and friends and providing them with a generously overflowing table of fruits, nuts, seeds, and other foods. Yeah, but I hear what you're saying. When you first hear that song, well, there's a little bit, seems like a little bit of a racy overtone to it. But no, I guess we misinterpreted that, didn't we? Anyway, Gigi's Boo, any further thoughts on that one before we move on to the next element? So you don't have any further thoughts before we move on?
Well, just one. That's the one that Hugh Hefner's played on The Girls Next Door. You know, he had all his girls living with him. And that was the theme song to that show.
Well, isn't that something? They kind of he kind of reinvented the, I guess, the ambiance of that song or underlying meaning. Which is a shame, because I can see the value of that having been an Armenian folk song. A couple of things real quickly here that happened. Guess what TV show premiered on CBS TV on June 28th? And it was a pretty significant event.
Oh, no.
It was a comedy show. I'll give you a hint. Amos and Andy. Amos and Andy premiered on CBS TV in 1951. And that was reputed to have been the very first entry into, like, prime time or main time or big time, you know, television, by and for a black audience. That was pretty significant. A lot of people look back at that and say, well, that was stereotyping, blah, blah. I don't think so. It was a black effort that created the show, and it was there to entertain all audiences, to include the black community. So I don't know. I think it's getting a little too overly sensitive, as we tend to be sometimes, and saying that Amos and Andy was racist and blah, blah. I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think that they had some really funny stuff. They had some very inventive and funny material. And it's too bad that all that kind of went by the wayside. But anyway, let's real quick here. We'll go, let's see, what time we got? I got to move fast. Got 12 minutes or so. Okay, let's talk about movies again, and this one is off the board a little bit, but nonetheless, people like Grimnir and me and some others out there who I know are listening will probably know that there were two blockbuster and very long-lived science fiction movies that came out in 1951. One of them was The Thing, okay, and that was a pretty creepy movie. I remember watching that when I was a kid. And The Day the Earth Stood
Still. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah,
I love that movie. I would watch it when I was little and be scared to death.
Yeah, that has been always one of my favorite movies. In fact, I have it. I think on DVD or something. I have it somewhere. I have that movie. I like to watch it sometimes. Michael Rennie was always one of my favorite actors. So, having set this up, this is the final Jeopardy question. Gigi's Boo. And I hope everyone's ready for this, because this one's obscure. The actor who played the creature in The Thing later went on to become an iconic television show actor. Who knows who that was? Okay, contestants, who has an answer? Who was The Thing? Anyone know? Boo Boo Bear, anybody jumping in for an answer?
It wasn't Kurt Russell, Graham.
No.
Graham said it was a Kurt Russell. This would be probably before he was born, but
I don't know.
Nobody so far.
Well, heck.
Well,
remember Matt Dillon in Gunsmoke?
Oh, yes.
That's James Arness's first role in any type of media.
Really?
He played The Thing.
I have never pictured that.
Yeah, that I knew that was going to be a tough one. And here's, it was kind of tricky because we usually ask about the Kentucky Derby. So to circumvent those who like to think ahead and do a Google search, we went off the board with something different. That was mean, Gigi's boo. Oh, well.
All right.
Okay, here we go. All right, how many people have ever played a Gibson Les Paul? Anyone out there? A real Gibson Les Paul? Well, how about we hear Les Paul and Mary Ford in How High the Moon?
I only live for
and smile because of you.
The number two song of 1951, Tony Bennett, Because of You. And before that, of course, you heard How High the Moon. Les Paul on his guitar and voice, along with Mary Ford on the number three song. So Gigi's Boo was made her singing debut also. During the...
I apologize for that. I swear I thought I had it muted. I was singing to Atticus. And the kids were looking at me, what are you doing, Mommy?
At least
and
that.
I said, I'm talking to Daddy and we're singing.
Yeah,
and I apologize for that.
That's all right. At least Atticus wasn't singing along, you know.
God, I mean, the truth.
Okay, it's that time. It's that time when we reach into the hat and pull a song deep in the chart that, right before we do the number one song. And are you ready, Vanna Boo Boo, to spin the wheel?
Yeah.
Here we go. And it lands on number 28, Undecided, by the Ames Brothers and Les Brown Orchestra.
You say it's yes and then it's no. You say you'll stay and then you go. You're undecided now. So what are you gonna do? First you say you do and then you don't. And then you say you will and then you won't. You're undecided now. So what are you gonna do? Now you wanna play, and then it's no. And when you say you'll stay, that's when you go. You're undecided now. So what are you gonna do?
I've been sitting on a fence, and it doesn't make much sense, 'cause you keep me in suspense, and you know it. You promise to return, when you don't I really burn. Well, I guess I'll never learn, and I'll show it.
If you got a heart, and if you're kind, then don't keep us apart, make up your mind. You're undecided now, so what are you gonna do? You do and then you don't know you don't. And then you say you will and then you won't. No, you won't. You're undecided now. So what are you gonna do? How you wanna play and then it's no. And when you say you'll stay, that's when you go, you're undecided now. So what are you gonna do? I've been sitting on a fence, and it doesn't make much sense, 'cause you keep me in suspense, and you know it. You promise to return, when you don't I really burn. Well, I guess I'll never learn, and I'll show it. If you got a heart, and if you're kind, then don't keep us apart, make up your mind. You're undecided now, so what are you gonna do? You say it's yes and then it's no. You say you'll stay and then you go. You're undecided now. So what are you gonna do?
Number 28 of 1951, Undecided, by the Ames Brothers with Les Brown's Band of Renown. Gigi's Boo, we've run a little bit long here, so I guess without any further ado, we need to shuffle on down to Buffalo. Any parting words here?
Oh, just good evening, everyone. We're glad to be here. Had a lot of fun. Glad you really enjoyed my singing. Atticus does. And we'll see everybody next week. And be sure to love everybody that you love.
Absolutely. And you know who's going to walk us home, Gigi's Boo?
Who's going to walk us?
Nat King Cole, the number one song, 1951, Too Young.
Mm.
We're too young, too young to really be in love. They say that love's a word we've only heard, but can't begin to know the meaning of. And yet, we're not too young to know. This love will last, though years may go. And then, someday, they may recall. Not too young at go.